for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 26th, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the speaker of the afternoon.
Today I'm going to talk to you about some of the things in the Bible that God doesn't like. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Do not become idolaters as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And so let's look at that. Let's look first up here at verse 7. And do not become idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let's look at Exodus 32:6. And let's start up here at verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, now he's been up there 40 days, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, let us make gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. And so all the people broke off the golden earrings in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And when they said Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rolled up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The Lord said to Moses, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And they turned aside quickly out of the way I commanded them. And they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped and sacrificed to it. And said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people. Indeed, they are stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I can consume them. And I will make you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against you? Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power in your mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and consume them in the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this great harm. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and your servants to whom you swore to yourself, I will multiply your descendants as all the stars of the heaven, and all this land I have spoken, I will give to your descendants that they may inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to the people. And then Moses went down, and they indeed had made a golden calf. and they were dancing around him. And he came hot, and he broke. He threw down the tablets, and they broke. And then he said, "Who is with the Lord? Grab on your sword and stand with me at the gate." And just the tribe of Levi, his tribe, rallied to his side. And they went through the camp, and they killed 25,000 people. And God set aside the tribe of Levi to serve him. He had said before that, in Exodus 19, verse 6, turn back, starting with verse 5, "Now if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And these are the words that you shall speak." And Moses called the elders, and he told them that, and they all said, "Fine, we will accept that." And God was going to make the whole nation of Israel a kingdom of priests. What does he say? He says in Revelation, he says in Peter, that you are a kingdom of priests. He's made you the kingdom of priests now. He was going to make Israel a kingdom of priests. What did they do? They fell aside into idolatry. 40 days he was gone. And they just said, "Man, he's sitting down and didn't have anything to do." So they made themselves an idol. And so idolatry came out of idleness and the desire of the flesh to dance and play. And remember that Baal, the worship of the golden calf is the worship of Baal. Actually, it was a bull, which was a symbol of virulence and strength and prosperity. If a man had a good bull that could breed his cows and they had calves and reproduced, he would prosper. And they said Baal can control the fertility of the cattle, the fertility goddess. And Astra was the fertility goddess. And therefore they had all kinds of sexual practices in their religious rituals. If you read the Rosh Hashanah tablets, which describe the religious practices of the Canaanites, you'll see that it was riddled with incest, with idolatry, with prostitution, with homosexuality, with pedophilia. It was riddled. God said that the cup of the Amorites is full. And he put them under the ban and said, "Destroy them all." And so now here the Israelites have gone and seen God's mighty works, but didn't know his ways. And they have built an idol. What did Moses do? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18. Starting with verse 16. "And I looked, and there you had sinned against the Lord your God and made yourselves a molded calf. You turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had managed you. And you took the two tablets, and you... I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord, as at first. 40 days and nights I neither ate bread nor drank water because of your sin which you had committed doing this wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." He fell on his face and lay there for 40 days, asking God not to kill him. Well, what does this have to do with us today? Let's look at Colossians 3:5. Read, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Fornication, that's idolatry. That's a word, that's an act of worship to the devil. Uncleanness, passions, getting angry, getting mad, violent, clamorous, loud speaking, evil speaking, malice and ill will, evil desire and covetousness. Want something God's given somebody else? That's idolatry. What else is idolatry? Well, let's look at 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. "Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness..." Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Let's look at that. Rebellion, you all know what rebellion is a sin of witchcraft or divination. Now, those of you who've heard me speak on witchcraft before know that witchcraft
is a desire to control people or natural events by supernatural means. It's a desire to impose your will on someone else, to dominate someone else. That's what witchcraft is. And so rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity. Now, what's an iniquity? Iniquity is rebellion and all its evil consequences. And idolatry. And so you hear you have rebellion and stubbornness is a type of idolatry. You're worshiping yourself. You're saying that my way is the best way. I'm always right. Why should I change? Let everybody else change to me. And that's idolatry. God don't like idolatry. He was going to wipe out the whole nation of Israel because of idolatry. Fornication and uncleanliness is idolatry. If you really get down to it, any time you move out of the will of God into your own will, that's idolatry. That's idolatry. Worshipping yourself. God considers it just as bad as that golden calf. Praise the Lord. So he doesn't like idolatry. Well, let's see what's the next one said here. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Nor let us commit sexual immorality or fornication, as some of them did in one day, 25,000 fell. Now, that's going back to Numbers 25. So let's go back over here to Numbers. People of Israel have come out of the land, and they've settled on the border of Moab right next to the river. They're going to go over into the promised land. And the king of Moab got really uptight. And so he sent to a prophet of God, Mesopotamia, named Balaam. And he said, man, they cover the ground. They are licking up the land like an ox licks up the grass. There's so many of them. He said, we can't defeat them, but we know if you come curse them, whoever you curse is cursed, and whoever you bless is blessed. I want you to come curse these people so we can defeat them. Well, the story of Balaam is another story. He came and he was unsuccessful in cursing them. It's interesting, he said God found no iniquity in Israel, so divination wouldn't work against them. And so Balaam said to him, he said, well, now, you know, I can't curse these folks. I can only do what God tells me to, and he won't let me curse them. But I tell you what. You have your young ladies go there and invite those boys into your temple services, and they're going to eat of that meat prepared, sacrificed to idols, and they're going to get engaged in the sexual immorality of the Baal worship, and God will curse them himself. Let's see what it says here in Numbers 25, verse 1. When Israel remained in the acacia grove, the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people bowed down to their gods. And so Israel joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of God was aroused against them. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before God out in the sun, and the fierce anger of God may turn away from Israel. So Israel sent to the judges and hang every one of you, kill all the men who were joined to Baal of Peor. Kill everybody that went to the services. Indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation of children, and were weeping at the door of the tabernacle. This little boy was so brazen, he brought a girl right up there and carried her into his tent right there in front of everybody. And it upset Phinehas, and then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it and rose among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust through both of them. The body of the man of Israel and the woman threw their body, and the plague was stopped. And those who died of the plague were 24,000. Now, you get this. There were 24,000 folks that hadn't been involved they were innocent victims of the sin. Does that seem fair to you? I mean, he hung all the folks who'd gone out there and fornicated and bowed down to them, but 25,000 died. You know, people, they're innocent victims of sin. You know, you can be driving home and minding your own business, and some drunk driver can come and run into you and just tear you up and put you in the hospital, and you're an innocent victim of sin. A woman can be a chaste, fine woman,
and her husband slips, and he goes out and fornicates on the side and brings human papillomavirus home to her. And she gets cancer of the cervix and dies. The innocent victim. For the innocent victims of sin. Here we had 23,000. God doesn't like sexual immorality. He doesn't like idolatry. He considers fornication idolatry. And his anger burns wax. Why does it say that in the New Testament? Well, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Everybody found that? I want you to notice what it says there. For this is the will of God. Now, how often does the Bible tell you this is the will of God? That's pretty straightforward. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, his own body, in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust, like the heathen who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we forewarned you and testified. For God did not call you to uncleanliness. So fornication is uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who's given us his Holy Spirit. Now that's a pretty straightforward verse there. And there are lots of other verses I can give you and talk about the consequences, but we won't go into that today. We'll just look at this. And so, 25,000 people died. Okay. And so God doesn't like fornication. He feels rather strongly about it. All right? Nor let us tempt God, as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Well, there are two verses I can give you on this one. One is in Exodus 17. At the waters of Meribah, when the people grumbled against God and were going to stone Moses and murmured against Moses, he'd bring us out of here in the desert to die of thirst. God gave them water to drink. Then they murmured against God and said, oh, I wish we'd stayed in Egypt. We just got these leeks and all we got this manna to eat. Well, we had leeks and fishes and onions and garlic and all that good stuff back there. We need some meat. So God sent quail into the camp, 3 feet deep. And as they ate it, he put leanness into their soul, a wasting disease. Okay, let's look at another place here. The fiery serpents, Numbers 21. What's happened here is they wanted to go through the land of Moab and eat them. And so they, and those people were descendants of Esau and of Lot. And he says, you can't take anything from them because they're your relatives. So they sent to the king and said, we want to come through. We'll go by the king's highway. We won't go to the right or the left. And we'll pay you for the water and your food our folks eat. We just want to walk through your land. And the king brought his army out and said, we'll fight you. You can't go through. And so God made them walk all the way around. And they were walking in the desert. And they were tired, and it's hot, and tired, and they got to murmuring. Why have you got us out here in this old desert? We just working, and we so hot and tired. And so Numbers 21, 6 to 9, starting at 4, verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And then, therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned against, spoken against God, and pray that he'll take these serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and then he made a bronze serpent and hung it on the pole. And anybody who looked on the serpent was healed. And there's a beautiful picture by one of the Raphael. And it showed a picture of a woman that had the bronze serpent up on the pole. And she had her sick child, and she was trying to get the child to look at the serpent so the child would be healed. Just as each one of you individually must look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Nobody can look for you. You have to look for yourself. That's a type there. The thing I want you to see that, and you know it's interesting, this word fiery serpents is the same word used for the cherubim in Isaiah. When he spoke, he said, I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the cherubims flew back and forth. That's the same word as fiery serpents here. That's an interesting insight. I was doing a study on angels once, and I punched this word into my computer, and that's what came out, which is interesting. Maybe they were his angels that were biting. Maybe they were the fiery serpents. I don't know. And so, murmuring against God. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. And they were destroyed by serpents. A murmur, as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Okay, now there are two examples there. The first one is in Numbers 14. And in Numbers 14, they murmured against God. Him, they are on the borders of the Promised Land at Kadesh someplace. God, you know how to pronounce that. And they sent 12 spies into the land to spy it out. And they stayed 40 days. And they came out. And two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said it is a wonderful, beautiful land. It's just wonderful. And we'd be well able to take the land, for God is with us. And the other 10 said, man, what are you talking about? They are giants in that land. They got cities that walls go up to the sky. And they're the sons of Nima in there. They're giants. Why, we look like grasshoppers to them. And we were grasshoppers in our own sight. And the people went into their tents and cried. Look at verse 14, chapter 1. Then all the congregation lifted their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the people murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, if only we died in the land of Egypt, if only we died in this wilderness, why has God brought us in this land to fall by the swords that our wives and children should become victims? Should it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? And so they said, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So Moses and Aaron fell on their face before the congregation of all Israel. Let's go back over, hold your finger there, and go back over to Deuteronomy again, chapter 9, verse 24. You've been rebellious against the Lord since the day I knew you. Well, start back at 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you to Caleb, Baran, and saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you, you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, did not believe him nor obey his voice. You've been rebellious against the Lord the day I know. Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and night and kept prostrating myself because the Lord said he's going to destroy you. So he fasted for them again 40 days. And again God said, get out of my way, I'm going to kill them all and start over with you, Moses. But then he said, he relented. He said, they're going to wander 40 years, 1 year for every day they spied out the land. And anybody over 20 years old except Caleb and Joshua are going to drop dead in the desert. That's all Caleb and Joshua did for 40 years is 10 funerals. Because everybody over 20 years of age died except them. And they murmured against God. They didn't believe God's promises. How many of y'all, God calls you and do something? Murmur. I don't want to do that, Lord. I'm comfortable where I am. I don't want to do that, Lord. You know, send somebody else, Lord. I can't do that. You know, I can't talk. I'm not good. Just let me teach Sunday school, Lord, just like I'm doing. You know, let me work at this job I've got and pay my tithe. I can pay a tithe that'll send somebody. Watchman Nee reports in his journal, in his diary. He got saved. He was going to school. And he fell in love with a beautiful Chinese girl from a very fine family. But she wasn't saved. And the family said for him to marry her, he'd have to give up his ministry and go into family business. And Watchman wanted to marry her. And he pleaded with God. He fasted and he prayed. And he tried to make a deal with God. But in the end, he gave up his love, the love of his life, and went into the ministry. Eventually, the girl came to salvation. They were married 10 years later. But Not with some fight from his family. The family still wanted him to not be an itinerant preacher. And they never had any children. They had a long life. They put him in jail in 1950. And they left her out. And she suffered the insults of the Red Guard. And she stood several times as they stole everything she had and rejoiced in God. She just stood there and rejoiced as they went in and took everything out of her house and left her. And God provided for her. But how many of you are willing to do that? You know, Paul said, don't love the world or things in the world. How many of you are willing to do as the author of Hebrews said? He said, remember, you stood by me in my chains, joyfully accepting the plundering of your goods as you stood with me. How many of you are willing to stand there when you come under persecution for being a Christian and a mob comes to your house and you stand there and say, look, honey, they're taking our washing machine. Isn't that wonderful? Look, there goes your bed. Yes, oh, praise God. Joyfully accepting the plundering of your goods. Remember Lot's wife. Lot was a very rich man. He had so much money, so many herds and cattle that he and Abraham had to divide because there wasn't enough land. He went down to Sodom, pitched his tent toward Sodom. And he apparently bought a house in Sodom and became a judge because of his wealth. He said that the crowd said, yeah, you come down here and be a judge over us. And the angels took them forcibly, literally, and said, don't look back. But when they got to the top of the hill, Lot's wife just sort of turned and looked back at all her nice things down there in that house, and the fire and the brimstone was falling on her. She looked back, just cast a longing. She didn't go back to get anything. She just cast that longing look back. It became a pillar of salt. You want to crucify your flesh? Don't love the world or the things in the world. Praise God. Now, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Murmuring. Let's look at Numbers 16:1. Now, there was some people in the tribe of Aaron, the tribe of Levi, and also some people in the tribe of Reuben, who decided, you Levites, Aaron, what do you mean saying that only you can burn incense before God? You're taking too much on yourself. We are all chosen by God. And Aaron said, okay, you boys come here in the morning and bring your censers with you, and we'll see who God's chosen. So 250 of them showed up. Tribe of Reuben, they sort of scared. They stayed back in their tents. But these Levites showed up and they with their incenses. And the fire of God fell on them and consumed them and melted the censers. And they said, beat those out into plates of brass and nail them on the altar before they're holy before God. And he looked over and said, all you people, get away from them tents of those rebellious folks. Get away from them. Get away. It's now. If something natural happens to them, you'll know it's by happenstance. But if the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up, you'll know it's God. And the earth opened its mouth, and all of those tents, those rebellious people, and everything they belong, fell into the hole, and the earth closed. That's scripture. Y'all looking at me like I'm making this up. Hallelujah. Verse 30. And if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up and all that belongs to them and they go down alive in the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. And it came to pass that he's finished speaking these words, the ground split apart under them and opens its mouth and swallowed up all the households of the men of Korah and their goods. Okay? And the next day, coming down to verse 41, all the congregation's children murmured against Moses there and said, you killed the people of the Lord. And it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned towards the tabernacle and suddenly a cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses came before the tabernacle of the meeting. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, get away from this garment that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. So Moses said, Aaron, take a censer and put fire on it from the altar and put incense on it and take it quickly and make atonement for them. The wrath has gone out and the plague has begun. So Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran in the midst of the congregation. Already the plague had begun among the people. And he put the incense and made atonement. And he stood between the dead and the living and the plague stopped. And those who died in the plague were 14,700 besides those who died in the Korah instance. What were they doing? They were murmuring against God's anointed leadership. And they weren't murmuring against God. They were murmuring against God's anointed leadership. How many of y'all ever murmur against your pastor? You know what a murmur is. And just saying bad things, just whispering, backbiting, gossiping. That's how God feels about it. The earth opened up and swallowed those people for murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And then the people who stood up against them, a plague came out and was going to consume them all. If Aaron had taken the censer and ran through the crowd, and where he ran, that's where the plague stopped. If you can get that picture. He was running through the crowd, swinging the censer, and realized that incense is a type of prayers. And so these things were written down for your admiration, to admonish you, to tell you that God doesn't like these things, for your instruction, to know that God doesn't like these things. And what were they? First was idolatry. And I read to you out of the Bible what idolatry is. It's stubbornness, rebellion, covetousness, fornication, uncleanliness. And those people who do that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are strong words. But that's what the Bible says. There are lots of scriptures here on 2 Timothy says, don't gossip. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, don't gossip. 2 Corinthians 11:20 says, Paul's afraid when he comes back he's going to find whispering and backbiting and malicious gossip in the Corinthian church. Romans 1:29, speaking of the perverse spirit, says these people are whisperers and backbiters and covenant breakers and murderers of mothers and fathers and so forth. God feels strongly, people. These are sins unto death. If you look at it, they're sins unto death. They make God mad. And so, I say to you that you need to... How do you come out of these? You come out of these by keeping a clear conscience before God. If your conscience convicts you, turn from it. Paul said, I have always endeavored to keep a conscience clear before God. He said that to the Sanhedrin in Acts 22. And the high priest said, strike him on the mouth. And he said, you stand there and judge me. He said, God's going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You stand there and judge me according to the law. Order me struck contrary to the law. And the man next to him said, you revile God's high priest? He said, I didn't know he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil, the leader of the people. Interesting, the verse he was quoting in Exodus says, and Deuteronomy says, you shall not curse the leader of the people. He says, you shall not speak evil. So it tells you that speaking evil, when it says speaking evil in the New Testament, it means cursing. And what did Paul do? He repented immediately. When he realized that he had sinned, he repented immediately. That was God's anointed leadership up there. He wasn't a godly man, but he was the one God raised up. And so he repented immediately. And then he said in Acts 25, I think, he said in his testimony before King Agrippa, or Festus and King Agrippa, he said, I have always endeavored to keep a conscience clear before man and God, or God and man. And so he adds man to it. And what does that mean? I was talking to the men today. I said, if you have something between you and your brother, settle it. In Matthew 5, it says if you got something between you and your brother, settle it. Why are you on the way to the judge? Because if he turns you over to the judge, you're going to be guilty of unforgiveness. And you're going to be thrown into jail until you pay the last farthing. And that God's jailhouse is not a comfortable place to be. He says the tormentors are there. And so what you do is you forgive quickly. You clear your conscience. You keep a clear conscience before God. You don't let the sun go down on your anger. You have an argument with your wife, you settle it before you go to bed. You settle it. If you have an argument with someone, something between you, you go settle it. What if they won't settle? Give them your cloak. You want your coat? Give them your cloak, too. Hadn't you rather be defrauded? You settle it. You apologize. You do the best you can. You don't worry about it. If he don't apologize, that's his problem. You ask him to forgive you. You forgive him. You ask for forgiveness. You're sorry you offended him. You try to settle it. If he won't settle, then that's his problem, not yours. But it says, be at peace with all men as much as it depends on you. You can't make the other fellow settle and be at peace with you. All you can do is try. You do those things, and you won't get involved in covetousness, fornication. I'll tell you what fornication is. Don't watch television. Y'all laugh. I mean, there's nothing on television. I even try the History Channel, and by gosh, if it did it. When I'm up with my sons, I watch the History Channel, and by George, it's got bad stuff on it. I watch the educational program, and what they do, I mean, they showed how to, the educational program, and they had a program on Pompeii. My Lord, it's terrible. I mean, they had pictures of an erect male penis and testicles, you know, on the doorpost of all the buildings, and they showed pictures of it on television. And then you go in, and there's this woman coming out with a face red and a face covered, and what they got this big mural, this man, the measure of a man, and he's weighing his male organ on a scale. And this comes on national television at prime time for little kids to watch. I cut that one off. I don't watch that one anymore. I found a Western channel. Had all the John Wayne movies in it, and Roy Rogers movies in it, Gene Autry movies, and I can watch that. But everything, you know, the advertisements are all based on sex. All based on sex appeal. Sex sells. And if you let it go in the eye gate, it goes down into you and it'll come out. There's no way to go in the eye gate. Will they go in the ear gate or the eye gate? Praise you, Lord Jesus. So you stay away from fornication. Stay away from idolatry. And stay away from murmuring, backbiting, and gossiping. Just be slow to speak, slow to anger, and swift to hear. Let your speech be bridled with grace. Let your words bear grace to the hearer. Let's look at that. That's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What's necessary for the building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness or rebellion, wrath, anger, clamor, which means loud quarreling, evil speaking, which means cursing, be put away from you all malice or ill will. But be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Going on over to chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, now let it not be named among you as fitting the saints. I like the NIV. That it says that there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you. Now, that's the NIV translation. I like that better because that is straightforward. There should not even be a hint. You know, somebody asked me about something, and I said, well, the nicest thing I can say about it is it don't look good. All other comments will go down from there. It just don't look good. They asked me about ministering. I said, a man should not minister to a woman alone. That's what you got a wife for. Ain't got no wife, and you have a couple come with you. I mean, that has saved me a number of times. I've been a single man for 25 years. And back when folks thought I was a rich doctor, I was a target of some harassment. But I made very sure that I always had Tom and Carol with me. And it protected me. Now, I could sit here and tell stories all day about interesting things that happened. But, okay, let's see here. But let neither, verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For we know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Don't murmur. Don't talk about your pastor. Don't talk about your boss on the job. Don't talk behind his back. You know anything good to say about him? Don't say anything at all. Everybody got some good points you can talk about. Pray for him. Ask God to bless him and bring him salvation. And don't rehearse his sin to God. The devil's already doing that better than you'll ever be able to. He's more uncharitable than you'll ever hope to be. He's had a lot of practice. He's been at it a long time. What you do, you ask God to bless him. Point out his good points and ask God to save him. To touch him with grace, mercy. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I think we're going to stop for a minute or two, and everybody's going to stand up now and praise God and let the blood get back in their out of their fanny and their feet and back up to their brain. And then we're going to pray a little bit. Praise you, Lord God. This is a rather simple teaching, but this is what God wanted me to talk about today. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. And we give you thanks, Lord God. We praise your name. Praise him, people. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, for he inhabits the praises of Israel. He is enthroned in the praises of Israel. He is a king. And when you praise him, you give him a throne in your heart. In the name of Jesus, he's enthroned in your heart when you praise him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. Come into our hearts, Lord. Come sit on the throne of our hearts, Lord, and be king in our lives, Lord. Oh, touch us, Lord Jesus, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Thank you, and we praise you and bless you for it, Lord. And all God's folks said, dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of God the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am an adopted child of God. I have been accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin to you. I ask you, Lord, I confess the sins of my fathers. I break all the curses that come down through the family line. In the name of Jesus, I confess my sin. I ask cleansing from the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, used me, or abused me. I forgive them. I ask you to bless them. Bring them to salvation. Touch their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone, living or dead, my mother, my father, my relatives, my boss, my wife, my children, my husband, and anyone else. In the name of Jesus, I break these and call back my soul. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess that there have been people that I resent. I ask you, Lord, to touch me with the gift of forgiveness that I might repent from revenge in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Touch me now. Heal me, Lord. I forgive them and I forgive myself in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone I've ever lusted after, had sex with outside of matrimony. I break the curse and the evil soul ties. I call back my soul and I release any foreign soul in me. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You said you would restore my soul. Restore me now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all sit down now. I'm going to call out some spirits. For those of you who've never been in a mass deliverance service before, I want you to put both feet flat on the floor. Don't cross your arms. Don't cross your legs. Remember when you were a little child, you said, I didn't have to tell the truth because I had my fingers crossed, had my toes crossed, had my feet crossed. Remember that? Well, that's a witchcraft sign. Says you're not telling the truth. And the devil, he look at you with your knees crossed and said, well, she's not telling the truth. She don't really want to get rid of them demons. He legalist. He didn't even want to come out. So keep your feet. Don't cross your hands. Don't cross your feet. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And just listen to what I say. Take deep breaths and just relax.
that what happens, happens. Don't be worried. Scared about your dignity. Scared folks are going to be looking at you. They're worried about their own demons. They're not worried about yours. They want to get rid of theirs. And let what happens, happens. If you're worried about your dignity, you can get your, let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. If it comes out as a scream, let it come out. Comes out as a call for a yawn, let it come out. Don't hold it back. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I ask you to put the war angels in, Lord God, to protect the people. In the name of Jesus. Now, I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the power of rejection of all the Canaanites in the name of Jesus. The Canaanite heritage that came down from Adam. I bind it and I break it in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the Canaanite heritage. I break the Ammonites. He says his mother was an Hittite and his father was an Amorite. I break the Hittite and the Amorite heritage now in the name of Jesus. And I speak to the spirit of the Hittite, Thea. I speak to Thea now in Jesus' name. And I bind you and I break your power. You have no right, no memorial, no heritage in this place. And these people, we bind you in the name of Jesus. The love of God does drive you out. I bind the spirits of fear, fear of being rejected, fear of not being loved, fear of not being good enough, fear of water, fear of the dark, fear of higher places. I bind all fear, all tormenting fear, all harassing fear. And I bind all insomnia in the name of Jesus Christ, and I break its power in Jesus' name. I just bind fear, and I command it to go. Come on out, fear. I bind you now. I bind witchcraft, fear, in the name of Jesus. Bondage to fear. Bondage. Witchcraft bondage. Bondage to fear. I bind witchcraft mind control, in the name of Jesus. I isolate it from all other spirits. I decree that it can draw no power, authority, or communicate with any other spirit. And I break its power, and I command it to come out now, in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft mind control, I bind you, and I break your power, and I command you to come out now, in the name of Jesus. And all bondage to fear, now come out. All fear, all tormenting spirits, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. Anxiety in the heart brings depression, heaviness. In the name of Jesus, I bind anxiety in the heart and depression. And I break its power. I break the power of inferiority in the name of Jesus. The grasshopper spirits. We were grasshoppers before their eyes. I bind those grasshopper spirits. That spirit of fear of not being good enough, of not being able in the name of Jesus, of not being able to in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I break the grasshopper spirits. I bind the spirit of perverseness in the name of Jesus. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. All perverse spirits, go. All spirits of not being good enough, go. All love of the world, turning to the love of the world because of fear, because there is no love in the name of Jesus. A denial of love brings a turn to the world in the name of Jesus. I break its power now. I break the love of the world in the name of Jesus. I break the love of the world, the desire to have things in the name of Jesus, the desire to control people, to have money, to control people in the name of Jesus. I break its power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, overindulgence, I bind overindulgence, overindulgence in food, overindulgence in sex, overindulgence in buying, overindulgence in shopping. In the name of Jesus, I break its power. Overindulgence, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Arrested development, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break the power of arrested development. It said, he who fears is not made perfect in love. In the name of Jesus, not made perfect in maturity. I say to arrested development, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ and I break your power. I say, I go back to 10 years of age and I bind the spirit of arrested development and I say, turn them loose now in the name of Jesus Christ. I say to arrested development at 11 years old and 12 years old, I break your power and you come out. You cannot hold them in arrested development. You cannot hold them in immaturity. You cannot hold them in childlike behavior. You cannot hold them in isolation. You cannot hold them in isolation. You cannot hold them as a loner. They cannot. They will grow up and they will be mature adults in the name of Jesus. And 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, they will become mature adults. And I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the power of the loner. In the name of Jesus, I'm just going to be here alone. Nobody's going to ever hurt me again. Nobody's going to ever reject me again. I'll just play by myself, and nobody will ever hurt me again. I bind that spirit of the loner in the name of Jesus. I command the loner spirit to come out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of isolation, come out. The spirit of isolation, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. The spirit of the hard heart, the walled-off heart, Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll break your power. The hard heart, the walled off heart. Nobody will ever hurt me again. Come out. I'll just be tough in the name of Jesus Christ. The wounded spirit, I break its power. Come out, spirit, the wounded spirit. Come out, wounded spirit. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of pride now. A pride and haughty man. Scorner is his name. I come against the scorning spirit. The spirit of scorning in the name of Jesus. The spirit of rebellion and stubbornness. A proud, they were proud and haughty. They were stubbornness and stiff-necked in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the stiff-necked spirits, the stubborn spirits, the prideful spirits, the haughty spirits, the arrogant spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus, spirit of criticism and gossip and arrogance. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. Command you to go in Jesus' name. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. The spirit of rebellion. I bind the spirit of rebellion, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I come after rebellion now and bitterness. I come out. I pull the root of bitterness out that will defile you. I pull out the root of bitterness now. Come out, bitterness, in the name of Jesus. Come out, Kondilima. Kondilima, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Ikta. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Ikta. And I bind you, Celebi. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. You will come out, you witchcraft devils. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Athena, the spirit of wisdom. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power, Athena, and I break your power, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, Athena, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I come against Celebi, Iris. I come against Semiramis, and I bind them, and I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Now, Jezebel, where's your kingdom? Where's your kingdom? Jezebel, you witchcraft devil, I see you. And I break your power now. Don't you tear these people. You just come out. Come out quietly. You're a defeated foe. I bind you and I break your power. In the name of Jesus. Everybody take a deep breath and let Jezebel go now. Just let her go. Come on out of there. Come on out. Come on out, Jezebel. All of you now. All of you. In the name of Jesus. Come up out of the backbone now. Come on up out of their backbone in the name of Jesus. Come up out of their uteruses. Come up out of their sexual organs in the name of Jesus. I speak to Jezebel and I break her power in the name of Jesus. I command them to go in Jesus' name. I speak to the spirit of frigidity in the name of Jesus Christ and dyspareunia. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 out. I speak to spirits of premature ejaculation in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the spirits of impotence. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Jezebel. You turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. You turn God's people loose. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of murder, rage, anger, and hostility. Come out. Come on out. Murder, rage, anger, and hostility. Come out of there. Come on out. Come on out. All of you. Murder, rage, anger, and hostility. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus. You can't stay there. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come on out. Murder, rage, anger, hostility, suicide, and death. Death, I bind you. Leave God's people. Leave them now. Death, I command you to leave. I break your power. Come out, death. In the name of Jesus, come out. All the death spirits, all the death wishes, all the murdering spirits, the spirit of murder, I bind you, you murdering spirits. I bind you and I command you to leave. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Go. I come against the spirits of perfectionism now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'll do it absolutely right. I'll do it just right. Nobody can criticize me. I'll be perfect. Yes, I'll be perfect. Nobody will be as good as I am. I can criticize them. I bind the spirit of perfection, intolerance, critical spirit, anger and rage in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come on out. All those spirits, come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. I come against the religious spirits. I come against the religious spirits, the spirits of the elements and the principles. I come against the spirits of the elements and the principles now in the name of Jesus. I know you're there. Come on out. All you Pharisee spirits, all you lying spirits, come on out. I bind you and I break your power. All you ecclesiastical devils in the name of Jesus, all you necromancy spirits, come out. All you idolatry spirits, Come on out. Come on out. 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 Come on out. Spirit of Guadalupe, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come on out. The spirit of Celebi, come out. The spirit of Diana, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Spirit of Samaras, come out. Ictah, come out in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break all your power, you religious devils. Come out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus bore all of our grief and all our sorrow. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we have been healed. By the stripes of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus. Now I speak to the harassing spirits in the brain. I speak to the harassing spirits of ADD, the harassing spirits of dyslexia, the harassing spirits of encephalitis, encephalopathy, of stroke. I speak to stroke in the name of Jesus. I bind stroke in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus. I break the power of stroke in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power and I command it to go in Jesus' name. Brain, you line up with the Word of God. You line up and receive healing in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of stroke in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command the Bible, command the body to line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says they have been healed. I break the power of stroke. I break aphasia in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to leave. Dysphonia, I command it to go. Aphonia, I command it to go. I speak healing, paralysis, and palsy. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I come against eye problems. I come against blindness. I come against glaucoma. I come against astigmatism. I come against iritis in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind it in cataracts. I speak to the cataracts, and I break its power of the cataracts in the name of Jesus Christ. I command them to go in Jesus' name. All cataracts, go. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I command you to dissolve in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to sinus problems in the name of Jesus. I speak to sinus problems in Jesus' name. Congestion in the nose, I command it to go now. All allergies, I bind the spirit of allergy in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of allergy that's come down through the family line. I loose these people from all allergy spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind these allergy spirits and command them to leave and be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind all sinusitis in the name of Jesus. All iritis in the name of Jesus. All pharyngitis, tonsillitis, bronchitis, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All thyroiditis, go in the name of Jesus. All Graves' disease, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind it, all cancer, cancer of the thyroid, cancer of the tongue, cancer of the mouth. I bind all spirits of gingivitis, go. All pyorrhea, in the name of Jesus. I bind all root canals, in the name of Jesus. All carities, carious teeth, I bind you. I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing in Jesus' name. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. By His stripes. I speak to lung disease. I speak to emphysema. I speak to asthma. I speak to bronchitis. I speak to pneumonia. I say, be gone. I say, I speak to COPD in the name of Jesus. And I bind them and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak to the hearts and I say, the hearts would fail because of fear. I bind fear and I command the heart failure to go because their hearts will not fail because fear is gone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you all liver disease. I command you to go. All cholelithiasis. In the name of Jesus, all hepatitis, go. All hepatitis A, B, C, D, and any other hepatitis, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to pancreatitis, diabetes, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go. I speak to enteritis, I speak to Crohn's disease, I speak to ulcerative colitis, and I bind them in Jesus' name, and I command them to go. I speak to cystitis, vaginitis, prostatitis, and I bind them, and I command them to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to urethritis in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. I speak to BPH of the prostate. And I say shrink. Shrink in the name of Jesus Christ. Shrink. I speak to cancer of the prostate. And I bind you and I break your power. I speak to vaginitis. I speak to the human papillomavirus. And I bind you, you foul devil. And I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to gonorrhea and chlamydia. And I bind you and I command you to leave. In the name of Jesus. I speak to back problems now. I speak to back problems in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the serpentine devils that would surround the back in the name of Jesus. And I break their power. And I command them to take the teeth out of people's backs. And I put the hook of the Holy Ghost in their nose and I pull them out. And I command them to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak to the circulation and I say, open and function properly. I speak to the nerves. I speak to neuritis in the name of Jesus. Claudication commanded to go. I speak to arthritis. And I bind arthritis. And I speak to grease in the joints in the name of Jesus. Grease their joints, Lord, and take away the arthritis in the name of Jesus. Take away arthritis, Lord. I speak to chronic pain now in the name of Jesus. I speak to chronic pain. I speak to chondromalacia in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to fibromyalgia and I bind it in the name of Jesus. I speak to chronic pain syndrome and I bind these things and I command them to go now. You demons, I bind you. You take your hands off of God's people. I bind you and I command you to go and be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak to cancer. I bind cancer. I bind the demon of cancer and command it to leave in Jesus' name. I speak healing to God's people now. All God's folks said, amen. All stand up, please. Lord Jesus, let your glory come down now, Lord. Let your glory come down, Lord God. Let your glory come down, Lord. Lord, open the blind eyes and the deaf ears. Fill the carious teeth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution to them now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution. Let your glory come down and fill them, Lord. Let your glory come down, Lord. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, Lord, will guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Fill them with the love of the Father. Let the love of the Father, Lord, come down and fill them now. And we all ask in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Lord, bless the food. Bless the food, Lord. Bless those that cooked it and those that are going to eat it. In Jesus' name, thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen? Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.